அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் ரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்துஹு. அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹி வஹ்தஹு வஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாமு அலா மன் லா நபிய பஅதஹு. வநஷ்ஹது அன் லா இலாஹ இல்லல்லாஹு வஹ்தஹு லா ஷரீக லஹ். ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الذين امنوا لا تلهكم اموالكم ولا اولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فاولئك هم الخاسرون. وانفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل ان ياتي احدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and also those who are listening over the radio stations. It is the night of Barat. We all know that the night of Barat, as one Allah wala said, کہ یہ حلوے کی رات نہیں, یہ جلوے کی رات ہے. یہ بھاگنے کی رات نہیں, یہ جاگنے کی رات ہے. یہ زحمت کی نہیں, یہ رحمت کی رات ہے. یہ معصیت کی نہیں, یہ مغفرت کی رات ہے. یہ عبادت کی رات ہے. So this is a night, the virtues of which we have been listening over the years. But because we have been blessed with this night, we are fortunate that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us life in this night of Barat, or the 15th of Shaban. Therefore, we make shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and also we make a lot of tawbah and istighfar from our sins. That is the purpose of this night, to seek from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There are many, many ahadith, although some of them are not of the same level as the ahadith in Bukhari Sharif or Muslim Sharif. But because there are many, if you put them together, then we get the virtue of this Mubarak night. If you have to discuss all those hadiths and all the details, then definitely we will have to sit the whole night. So what I normally do on such occasions is just give you the gist of the different ahadith. By now you are well aware that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made ibadat in this Mubarak night, the night of Barat, the 15th night of Shaban. The ayat of Surah Dukhan, although some mufassirin have said that fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim amram min indina, those ayat, they refer to Laylatul Barat. Therefore, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the night which he calls Hamim in the surah, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks Laylatul Mubarakah, so the Mufassirin have said that that Mubarakah refers to the night of Qadr, the Laylatul Mubarakah in which the Quran Sharif was revealed, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatim Mubarakah. They said that refers to night of Qadr. Because there is the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. So to reconcile those muhaddiseen or those mufassireen who say that this refers to the night of Bara'at, the 15th night of Shaban, to reconcile, we say that the hukam and the order for the revelation of the Quran Sharif was given on the 15th night of Shaban to the angels, as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But the revelation began and commenced on the night of Qadr. So we can reconcile both ahadith. ND235739. You are blocking somebody's driveway. Please remove your car immediately. 235739. So Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we have to look, what did he do in this Mubarak night? And what did he say about this Mubarak night? Then there are few things that have to be done. In fact, there are many things that we have to do, because we are going to take lessons from whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did in this Mubarak night, or what he mentioned about this Mubarak night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we know that in the month of Shaban, he kept extensive amount of fast. Besides the month of Ramadan, the most amount of fast that he kept was in the month of Shaban. And the reason that he gave for that was that the book of deeds is presented before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and therefore he desired that his book of deeds be presented in a state that he was a fasting person. Now from there, the very first thing we learn, that in this month the person should have kept some fast, if it was possible. It's not farz, it's not compulsory, but you can see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the greatest of all anbiya, the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there was no question of any sin in his life, there was no question of any mistake or errors, yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is desiring that his book of deeds be presented to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala whilst he is in a fasting state. Now we must check our lives and see that how did we allow our book of deeds to close Maghrib time. How many people missed the Salat of Asr and yet the book of deeds were closing today? Salat of Asr, such an important Salat, was missed. Then again, the Maghrib Salat was missed by so many people. Why? For business reasons or negligence. And yet the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest of all Anbiya, he is desirous that his book of deeds be presented in a state that he is a fasting person. Then if we look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked me that, do you know what night this is? I said, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam know best. Said that this is the night of the 15th of Shaban. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends up to the first heaven. Now this descending up to the first heaven does not mean that Allah Ta'ala has got some kind of a body, human body, that he goes up and he comes down. There's a consensus that what this means is that the rahmat comes very, very close to the people of the earth. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat, his mercy, his forgiveness comes up to the first heavens. Allah Ta'ala comes to the first heaven means that his rahmat and his mercy comes very close to the people of the earth. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then forgives more people, Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, than the number of hay on the goat and the cattle of the Bani Kalb tribe, because that was a tribe that was reputed to have the largest number of goats, cattle, sheep, whatever it was. So he said that even more than that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives in this Mubarak night. So he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha for permission, that would you allow me to engage in ibadat tonight? Now look at the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is what we do. We take lessons from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seerah. That it is his beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she is not like one of our women. She would have been extremely happy even if he didn't ask her permission and remained in ibadat the whole night. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking her permission. Why? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had many wives. And I mentioned in my Friday bayan, that there was no question of lust or passions when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married the other women. Until Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha lived, we all know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was 25 years of age, and she was 40 years of age at the time that he married her, and she was a widow. And then until she lived, he didn't marry any woman. After that, all the women that he married, the only one that was unmarried amongst them was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And all the other marriages were undertaken because there was a great need for the laws of Islam to be passed on to the women folk. Those who were accepting Islam, the women folk were also coming into Islam. So one of the major reasons was that the women folk, they could learn the masail of deen and sharia from the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who were closest to him. They were with him all the time, so they knew what, how he was within the house and how he was outside the house. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his ibadat like in the house? When he walked into the house, how did he greet them? What did he do in the house? From where do we get those hadiths where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasul-e-Pak salallahu alayhi wasalam, when he entered the home, they said Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came in with a smile. He greeted his wives with a smile. After that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he set aside some time to talk to his wives. It's not that because he was the Nabi of Allah, who could have been more busier than Rasul-e-Pak salallahu alayhi wasalam? Who was more occupied than Rasulullah salallahu alayhi wasalam? Who was doing more social work than Rasulullah salallahu alayhi wasalam? Who was more engaged in jihad than Rasulullah salallahu alayhi wasalam? Who was engaged more in propagation of the deen than Rasulullah salallahu alayhi wasalam? Who was engaged in more zikr and tilawat and ibadat than Rasulullah salallahu alayhi wasalam? But he finds time for his wives to talk to them nicely, cheerfully, happily. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the house, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that sometimes he used to knead the dough for the bread. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to stitch his own clothing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to sweep the house. He used to milk the goats. Ha! That was our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No pride, no arrogance, down to earth, humility. He is assisting and helping his wife within the house. And he is not ashamed that if somebody has to see, what will they say? He is setting an example for those of us who are arrogant, who have got no time to talk even cheerfully to our wives. We treat them in a harsh manner. We think that we have brought slaves within our homes. So for those people, they take lessons from this. And also to show that there is no such thing as humiliation and disgrace in work, even though it may seem menial. But there's no disgrace and humiliation in that. He's assisting, he's helping his wife, keeping her happy, because she is obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. And also to show that if a person, for example, is a shoemaker, then we must not look down upon him, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stitched his own shoes. If a person is a tailor, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stitched his clothes. If a person is a sweeper, don't look down upon him, because that person could be a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's just that he can't afford, or he doesn't have the education to do work in some factory or supermarket, or he can't become a manager of a store, or he can't do some computers. So he's sweeping the street. But he could be an obedient servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So take lesson from my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's sweeping the house. So that sweeper also could be a wali of Allah ta'ala. Don't look down upon anybody. Allah Ta'ala's side, the only one who is esteemed is the one who has got taqwa. So from where did we learn all these things? If those wives did not inform us, then how would we have learned the masail of hayz, of nifas, after birth and all those things? Who informed us? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was his wives who had to pass on these masail to the ummah. Therefore he undertook many marriages. And there were many other reasons also. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked her for permission to make ibadat that night, because as I said that he had many wives, so her turn would have only come after a number of days. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not want to deprive her of her right. On the one hand was his desire to make ibadat, which was optional, which was nafil. And on the other hand, it was wajib, it was compulsory to fulfill the right of the wife. Now look at that, how he balanced it. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by all means. So she says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stood up, he made Allahu Akbar, he made a short qiyam in that particular night, because there are many nights that came, 15th of Barat. So he says, he made a short qiyam, and then he went into sajda. After ruku, when he went into sajda, So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a very, very long sajda. It was almost half the night in sajda. Half the night. Then he got up. And he made the second rakat again in a similar fashion. He went into sajda, and it was almost the rest of the night that he was in sajda. She says, I feared that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has departed from this world when he was in sajda so long. So I got up and I touched his toes. So I realized that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is still alive. Now that was our Nabi. The ruh and the spirit into all those dini activities came with those salats at night and with the tears of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam before Allah at night. One whole night he just read, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Just on that ayat the whole night. Oh Allah, if you have to punish them, then they are your servants. They are your servants, they are your slaves. Because of their sins, if you have to punish them, who can stop you? But if you forgive them, then إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then verily you are exalted and you are all wise. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he spends his time like that. Then he informs, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, that at that time I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recite in sajda a dua, or make a dua in sajda. And that dua was, A'uzu bi afwika min iqabik, wa a'uzu bi radaka min sakhatik. A'uzu bi afwika min iqabik, wa a'uzu bi radaka min sakhatik. Wa a'uzu bika minka jalla wajhuk. لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Oh my beloved Allah, I seek protection in your forgiveness from your punishment. Who is seeking forgiveness from punishment of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? The one for whom Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe. The one for whom Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe, sinless, masoom. He is teaching us a lesson. That Ya Allah, give us protection in your forgiveness from your punishment. We have to picture the protection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or the af and the karam and the forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala like a fort. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that I am asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or he is seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protection in his af from his punishment. That means the person is now in the fort and the punishment is outside. It's like that. If we have to discuss this, we can go on. Nevertheless, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, wa'uzu bi radaka min sakhatik. And I seek protection in your radha, in your happiness, in your pleasure, from your anger. The anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is worse than the azab of Jahannam. The rida of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is better than Jannat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaaka wal jannah wa na'uzu bika min sakhatika wan nar. Where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Oh Allah, I seek your pleasure and Jannat. First comes his pleasure, then Jannat. And I seek protection from your anger, and then say from the fire of Jahannam. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is pleased, then the person has got more than the gardens of Jannat with him. He's got more than the gardens of Jannat, because the gardens of Jannat have been created by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if he's got the creator of those gardens, then he's got everything in his heart. Mana ke meer gulshan e jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. O meer, I know the gardens of jannat are far away, but the arif of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the one who has recognized Allah ta'ala, he has got the creator of those gardens in his heart. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking the rida and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala first, and then jannat. And the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is worse than the fire of Jahannam. Because if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes angry and unleashes his azab, then superpowers of the world cannot resist. They cannot fight back. We can see the floods and the cyclones and the gale force winds which are hammering Europe in certain parts of America and Europe. What is happening there? Especially in Florida, with all the best equipment and all the science and technology at the disposal and everything available, all the resources and mighty military power and all the bombs, the Daisy bombs and this bomb and that bomb, whatever they used in Afghanistan, in Iraq and other places, nothing can stop Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab. Which force can stop it? Therefore we say our job and our duty is to please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, obey Him. Whether it is in fighting the opposition, whether it is in fighting the enemies of Islam, whether it is any aspect of our life, if we are going to obey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala's nusrat and help will come in different forms. Why should we go to that level that we begin to displease Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in our haste to become victorious? We displease Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We do injustice then and we ask Allah Ta'ala for His help. How will it ever come? Again, what I mentioned in my Jumu'ah Bayan, and I have no hesitation in repeating it, whatever will come to mind. And many people will disagree, they can disagree. But that is the truth, what I am telling you, and of course there can be other opinions. But whatever happened in Russia, and what has happened in certain other places, where the innocent children were taken as hostages, they were made to drink their own urine. They were made to suffer starvation and hunger and thirst. Just picture our children in that situation. And then to say that the enemies have been very hard against our children, definitely they have been. What Russia has done in Chechnya, how can any person even read those incidents? It's terrible what they have done to our children, to our women folk, to our innocent Muslim brothers and sisters. And it's at present what is happening in Palestine. Look at the number of homes that are being bulldozed. Innocent little children, women are suffering. So at such a time, if a person is fighting the enemies in the battlefield, and they also have to throw some bombs against them, and in the process if some child got hurt or injured, then we will say that that is an exception. But we can't just go to a school, for example, I gave this example, that if they have to just go to one of our Muslim schools here, and somebody has to go in there with all the ammunition, with all the AK-47s, and put a siege, take hostages of the entire school children, and the teachers and the principal, and then say that we are doing this, and we will keep them hostages, or we will shoot and kill them, if you don't free our brothers who have been arrested in Pakistan. Now will that be justified? When Makkah Sharif was under occupation at that time, because the Muslims had to make hijrat and go away to Madinah Sharif, everything was under occupation. And this side also there were battles upon battles, and there was so much of problems the Muslims were facing, torture, persecution, tyranny. But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that time is saying that don't kill the children, don't kill the women folk, don't kill even the rabbis who are not actively engaged in battle. Don't burn the crops, don't burn the animals. So many things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying. So what I am getting at is that if we are going to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will use His hidden forces. Look at this gale force winds, which force can then fight against that? So we must make use of whatever means Allah Ta'ala has given, and within the parameters of Sharia, then there must be an opposition. There's nobody says that you must sit down and relax and just make dua. There has to be jihad. But there are rules and regulations that have to be followed to bring that nusrat of Allah Ta'ala. Without that it doesn't come. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what he is doing in this night of Barat. But that will become a different subject now. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, He's asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection in his raza, from his anger. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that I seek protection in you, from you. That means, O Allah, I'm asking for protection in all your rahmat, in your mercy, in your forgiveness and all that, from any kind of azab or anything that you can unleash. Jalla wajhuk, la ufsi sana'an alayk. I cannot really do justice to praising you. You are as you have praised yourself. So he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala afterwards that did you hear the dua? She said yes. He said, well, teach it to others, because Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked me to make this dua in sajda. From there we learn that if it's a nafil namaz, you can make in the sajda these duas. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on another occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this again you may have heard many times, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went away to the Qabristan. I'm not giving you the whole details. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha followed him there. He did not know that she had followed. She thought he had gone to one of the other wives' homes. But when she saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannatul Baqi, he was raising his hands and making dua for the people of Baqi. That is the Jannatul Baqi which we are seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, when our time of departure comes from this world, then take us to Madinah Tayyibah and bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he will arise, then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and then 70,000 people from Jannatul Baqi who will be entered into Jannat without any reckoning. 70,000. And of course, the rest of them also, the great hopes that whoever is in Jannatul Baqi, all the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then forgiveness. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking forgiveness for the people in the graveyard. Therefore, from there it is said it's mustahab to go to the graveyard. Our graveyards today do not remind us of death. On the occasions that we have to go to the graveyard when somebody passes away, then we go. But there too our discussion centers around worldly things. We look at that grave, but it does not give us any lesson. Ye saraye dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi jo muqeem isme the kal ke din kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi ye hai ek qabr pe bekasi zuban haal hai keh rahi یہ ہے ایک قبر پہ بے کسی بزبان حال ہے کہہ رہی تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافل ہو مجھے احتیاج بیان نہیں. This is a musafir khana. This world is a musafir khana. People come here and go. Nobody stays forever and ever in any musafir khana. And I always say that it is like the timeshare units that we have. That those timeshare units, we have fridges, freezers, we have air conditioners, and we have everything there. But there is a time, and after that time we have to vacate, we have to go. Now if that person says, no, but everything is very nice here and I don't want to move out, so whether you like to move out or not, you have to go. Somebody else is going to take your place. So like that, this world is a musafir khana. It's a timeshare unit. People come and they go. Our grandparents are gone, great grandparents are gone, our parents are gone. One day our turn will come, then our children will take our place, then their children will take their place, until Qiyamah will come. So he says, "Yeh qabr pe bekasi." Look at the helplessness of this grave. That person could have been a prime minister, he could have been a president, he could have been a cabinet minister, he could have been a maulana, a mufti sahab, qari sahab, anything. But if you look at the grave from the outside, it's like as if the person is helpless inside. Yes, if he had a'mal, if he had righteous deeds, if he pleased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that grave will be a garden of Jannat. But otherwise, we are talking about those who disbelieved in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and they went away to their graves. He says, "Yeh qabr pe bekasi," oh, the sinful ones who are not forgiven. وَزُبَانِ حَالَهِ كَهْ رَهِ تُمْهِ آنْكِ چَاہِيَ غَافِلُوا مُجھے احتیاجِ بَيَانَهِ. As if it is saying that you need eyes, I don't have to give you a bayan and a speech. You need eyes to see. Look at it, how helpless the person seems. Where is his wealth gone? Where are those beautiful cars? Where are those bungalows? Where are those mansions? Where are those palaces? Where is that gold mine and the silver mine that the person owned? And where are those oil wells that those sheikhs owned? Where is it? Nothing has accompanied the person to the grave. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua. And that is one of the other things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned about this night, because if we have to take all the details, we won't be able to complete. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he asked Hazrat Aisha, he said, do you think that I would have betrayed you? So this was the 15th night of Shaban, and then he gave the virtues of the 15th night of Shaban. So if we have to look at the list of the things that in the 15th night of Shaban, the forgiveness of a large part of the ummah, those who engage in ibadah, zikr, tilawat and seek forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive them. This shows that Allah Ta'ala is not out to punish. He doesn't want to punish. He's giving us opportunities that please seek forgiveness and come. Right from the time that the sun sets up till the early part of the morning, according to one hadith which has been mentioned by Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to him and told him that 300 doors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat is opened in this night for the ummah. And every door of Jannat is giving glad tidings to the people that are engaged in some ibadat or the other. One door is saying glad tidings to those who remain in ruku, glad tidings to those who made sajda, glad tidings to those who made dua, glad tidings to those who made zikr, glad tidings to those who teared in this night, glad tidings to the Muslim ummah, glad tidings to those who are seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this Mubarak night. Now look at that, even the doors are inviting. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what he said, that this is a night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens all these doors of rahmat. However, we are informed that there are certain categories of people who are not forgiven even in this Mubarak night. Unless of course they make sincere tawbah. And this is what we will just go through very quickly. Those people who are disobedient to their parents. Now we deal with cases the whole year round. In some cases the parents are phoning, my child is not talking to me for the past 20 years, 25 years. And very recently said that every time that I phone to this child of mine, the phone is slammed. Says, I'm crying and crying and crying. My tears don't stop. For the past so many years, the child doesn't want to talk to me. For whatever happened, but the child doesn't want to talk to me. I was at the madrasa one day, one mother came, and she brought one of her daughters. She just barged in, and after that she said that I've got a problem with this daughter of mine. I don't know under what pretext she brought her there. But she said that I've got a problem, and then she started talking about the problem of her boyfriend. Now this is a big problem. As soon as she mentioned that, this young girl grabbed her mother by the neck. And she slapped her in front of me. I said, please get out of my office, I don't want Allah Ta'ala's azab to come here. This young girl, this is what she did to her mother. So children are kicking their parents, they are booting them. And they're not only booting them and kicking them, they're now even shooting them. Some of them want to strangle them, some of them want to kill them. I mentioned in some other bayans also before, and I repeat, that some of the cases that I dealt with, they tell me very, very clearly that after watching a certain film, after seeing a certain video, the desire came very strongly in my heart to strangle my mother, to kill my father, to shoot him. And in some cases, if it was not the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those fathers would have been shot and gone, or the mothers would have been gone. So either we love our TVs and movies, then we must not blame the children. We provide it, then don't blame the children. Give them more, so that they may strangle, so that they may kill. Recently there are so many cases of homosexual behavior. And where is it coming from? After watching those movies all the time, after reading those kind of magazines, the mind is becoming conditioned in that direction. And they are stating clearly that this is where it started. I've got letters upon letters telling me where it started. Alhamdulillah, after some counseling they come out, but what I'm saying is this, that we are the cause of it. So the parents, when they hear this, then they must look into their own lives also, that where have we gone wrong? that we don't want to distance ourselves from those pleasures which are haram and which will bring destruction to our own morals, behavior, and even the children. But nevertheless, we have been taught that parents, they have great rights over the children, especially the mothers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, once he was asked who is entitled to the most amount of khidmat, he said, your mother. Again he said, your mother. Again he said, your mother. Then he said, your father. Parents have got great rights. The mother whole night, sometimes she sits with that little baby. The baby has got diarrhea. She is changing napkin upon napkin and her bed is wet. She herself doesn't get sleep. How much of difficulties and hardships the mothers go through before that child is brought up. And then as soon as he is grown and he has some strength in his body or he gets married, then he says, kick that mother out. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us that there is no good that a person does to his parents, but that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewards the person quickly in this world for that good that he has done to those parents. And when the person harms and hurts, I'm giving you just the meaning, or injures those parents, or he ill-treats them, then the azab of that also comes very, very quickly in this world. In another case, exactly like what I mentioned a little earlier, another mother, the same thing her daughter did. Within a few days after that, she was having some pains, and it was discovered that she's got cancer. Then that same mother who cursed her in front of me, she was taking a fan, hand fan, and fanning that daughter of hers. Because when she was cursing, I told her, please don't curse. And this is what I want to tell you, that when you are fed up, when you are tired, when you feel that you can't take it anymore, then at that time, don't curse. Say, may Allah give you hidayat. May Allah give you hidayat. May Allah give you hidayat. So at least if the dua is accepted, the child will get hidayat. But if you say, may you break your bones, and may your skull crack, and may you die in an accident, then after a few days when you get some sad stories or some incidents, then blame ourselves for that. So we must be so careful. Duas just get accepted. We don't know when is the time for acceptance of dua. So just as the baddua of the parent gets accepted, the dua of the parents also Allah Ta'ala accepts very quickly in favor of the children. So if those mothers and fathers make sincere tawbah from their sins and then make dua for those children at night, see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring the changes, even if they have gone astray and they've gone a little offbeat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, has given great rights, Shariat has given great rights to parents. The person who ill-treats and abuses the parents, he can never find success in this world. Yes, sometimes the parents also, they make demands which are not justified in Sharia. There has to be a balance. Some parents have gone so lazy that they don't want to work as soon as the child has begun to earn some money. Now that son is earning some money, but he's got a wife, he's got children, but they are sitting relaxed and they want to go to the casinos and discos and cinemas and theaters and pass their time with their friends, and they're putting burden and demand on those children that you must support us. Didn't you read in the Hadith Sharif? Don't you know what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said? So there again we have to understand that the parents have got a right to ask the son or the child to maintain and support to the extent that there is a need, but the parent has got no right to make israf and then put that demand on the son. The father is going around making debts upon debts for absolutely useless things. It's not for his necessities of food and drink and clothing. And then after that he demands from the son is not obliged to give him all those kind of expenses. If he gives it, that is his business. He will get rewarded, but he's not obliged. And especially if the father is going in the wrong direction, then he's not right to even give to him. So you can see how Shariat is balanced. The same thing happens that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now the second thing, the time is running fast, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people who are holding malice in their heart, Allah Ta'ala does not forgive them even in this night, unless of course they seek forgiveness. Now that malice again is the same thing. That the person has got malice in his heart. Now if he's got malice against his parents, then he's worse. And if he's got malice against his brothers and sisters and family members, and he doesn't ask them for forgiveness in this Mubarak night, then Allah Ta'ala will not forgive that person. Allah Ta'ala wants purified hearts. If there is a problem, try and resolve it. If there is a problem, try and resolve it. But to hold that kind of malice and carry on all one's life, that is not Sharia, that is not Deen, that is not a Muslim. So parents have got rights, but this young person sometimes gets sandwiched between the two. When he gets married, now one side Sharia says that if the wife asks for a separate accommodation, and when we're talking about separate accommodation, we're not talking about a mansion and a big palace, but within reasonable means, an accommodation where she has got privacy, where she's not under pressure. Because if she's doing any khidmat of the father-in-law, mother-in-law, then she is doing ihsan and a favor upon them. Now if that father-in-law and mother-in-law thinks that I have got a right over this daughter-in-law of mine, then they are mistaken. And that is what is causing major problems in marriages, and marriages are breaking down. Yes, the daughter-in-laws also should not think that these are strangers to me. The daughter-in-laws should think that I have got two sets of parents now, my parents and these parents. And the husband should think the same, that I've got two sets of parents, my parents and her parents. The husband should go out of his way to make her parents happy, and she should go out of her way to make his parents happy. Then see how nice and happy that home is going to be. But when it comes to separate accommodation for her privacy, then especially in these days, to retain that muhabbat. Sometimes people think that these maulanas give this type of things to the public and then they go to town with it. So therefore they start disliking them. So we are not concerned about whether you dislike or like. We are teaching you what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, so that you retain that muhabbat, that from day one, if they're living on their own, when they come you are happy, when you go they are happy. And if somebody thinks that we only talk from the minbar, then I would like to say that in my own case, when my son got married, he was very much interested and keen, both of them, because they were like, both of them were like our children. And they wanted to live with us, but I said, no, even if it will cost a little more, but you go and live on your own. And we tried to set them up and said, the house is open for you all. Come any time, eat, drink, rest, but that is your house, you go and stay there. And the result of that is that there's great muhabbat. After that, they moved in with us too, on their own, and alhamdulillah, we had not a day, a single problem with anyone. My parents, they lived with me for almost 16 or 18 years. And I really consider this as a karamat of my parents. That not one day, believe me, not one day did my late father or my mother complain to me about my wife. Or did my wife complain to me about my parents. Now in these days, this is a great ihsan and a favor of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But you have to play the game too. You have to be considerate. Now we want happiness in the home, but we're not prepared to fulfill the rights. So fulfill the rights and then see how much of happiness will come. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, those who have malice, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive them. La tahasadu wa la tabaghadu. La tahasadu wa la taqata'u wa la tabaghadu wa la tadabaru. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that don't have hasad and jealousy. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Why do you have jealousy? Hasad ki aag mein. Why are you burning in the fire of hasad? Why are you going towards Jahannam? Are you unhappy with the distribution that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made? Was Allah ta'ala obliged to have consultation, have mashwara, have a round table conference, discuss with us first, how much must I give to so and so, how much must I give to so and so, what kind of wife I must give so and so, what kind of home I must give so and so, and then he must go according to our mashwara. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it's his decision. So this is another thing that leads to this malice. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that don't be jealous, don't be envious. Whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to you, make qanaat on that. Be satisfied, be happy. Ask Allah Ta'ala. Then Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talks about those people who are drinking and they don't want to give up their drinking habit, knowing fully well how much of harm there is in this drink, in alcohol, in wine. Those people who are committing adultery and they don't want to give up adultery. Those people who are committing shirk with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those people who have broken the family ties. Family ties is extremely important. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whoever wants barakat in his rizq and sustenance, and he wants long life, so then he must be good to his family members. I mentioned in one Jumu'ah Bayan, that other people will always thank us and congratulate us for whatever favor we show. And they will go on and on, thank you very much, really appreciate what you did for me. But the family members, they will think that it is their right over us. So no matter how much you do for them, if the person has given the person 10,000 rands as a loan or as a gift, then he will say, oh, then what kamal he made in giving 10,000. Even if he gave 20,000, what dent it would have made in his pocket. When the person does anything, he's not going to appreciate. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Laisal wasil bil mukafi. That is not the person maintaining family ties, that tit-for-tat business. That how much you do, I will do. If you show favor, I will show favor. If you are rude and crude, then I will be the same. One person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he says that I am kind to my family members, but they ignore me. I try to be good to them, they treat me badly. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if what you are saying is the truth, that you are going out of your way to be kind, hospitable, generous and charitable and accommodating, but they are treating you very rudely, badly, in an unkind manner, then you are throwing dust in their faces. You are throwing dust, meaning that they will suffer humiliation and disgrace. And Allah Ta'ala will remain on your side and will keep on supporting you as long as you remain steadfast in this characteristic of yours. If you remain steadfast doing what you are doing, Allah Ta'ala will remain in your support and in your help. So a person doesn't have to worry about that. But breaking family ties is a different thing from where the person, he does not maintain those ties because of deeni reasons, that sometimes because of deen, those people are indulging in a lot of sins, and every time that this family member goes to visit them, he is also obliged to participate in all the evil that they are watching. And if he doesn't sit there, then all kinds of labels and titles are given to him. So for such reasons, if he cuts down on his going and visits, there's nothing wrong. There is no obedience to the creation of Allah Ta'ala when it comes to disobedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself. He is the one who is giving us those rights, so we have to fulfill it according to his command. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will be on the side of this person if he goes on helping this family members and relatives, and he is good to them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I've been ordered by my Rabb that I must give to them who deprive me, and I must forgive those people who harm me. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although Shariat allows a person to take revenge to a certain extent, but the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was that there was nothing but forgiveness there. In the whole life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was nothing but forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Read all the incidents. And this is what the awliya siddiqeen also, there's nothing in their lives but forgiveness. They overlook. And it comes to mind again something that I mentioned with regards to the husband-wife problems, that one day one young person was demanding, said, this is my right, this is my right, it is my right. I said, Alhamdulillah, it's your right. Now you are saying that if she doesn't fulfill your right, so then what? Then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come on her. If what you are saying is right, that you are demanding your right, so if she does not fulfill that right, and you are demanding, and you are cursing her now, so with your curses, what's going to happen is the azab of Allah will come on her, punishment of Allah. Now when the punishment of Allah will come on her, who is going to suffer? The wife is going to suffer alone, or you also going to suffer? If with your curses now, if she meets up with an accident, who's going to pay those hospital bills after that? And on the other hand, if the wife is all the time saying, my husband is not fulfilling my rights, he's not fulfilling my rights, he's like this and he's like that, and we go on and on, so then either separate nicely. But if you are going to curse the person because he's not fulfilling the rights, then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come on that person. Because injustice Allah Ta'ala does not tolerate. The heart, when it cries, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala listens to it, and he comes to the assistance of the person upon whom injustice has been done, even though it may be after a little while. This person mustn't think that nothing is happening to me, although I'm doing so much of injustice. So when the azab is going to come on the husband, now he's going to meet up with an accident, he's going to break his leg, or he's going to end up with cancer or some other kind of serious problem, then who's going to suffer? That wife, is she going to then say, well, look, now finish, he's suffering, I got no pain. Then what kind of husband and wife are they? So she will also suffer. So then what's the best thing to do? Forgive each other, solve the problem, find a solution, and then live a happy life. What kind of homes are those in which husbands and wives are quarreling all the time, arguing all the time? It's hell on earth. That's not home. A house is built with bricks, but a home is built with hearts. House you can build with bricks. The home you build with hearts. Wife is not a piece of furniture that you just keep in the home. There must be hearts that must be united. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned all those different categories. Now if we have to discuss each one, we can go on for hours and hours and hours. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned that this is the night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hands over the list. Or this is what also we learned from the hadith, and that's, I'll conclude on this, that he gives the list to the angels of whatever has to be done during the course of the year. The angel of death is given a list of those people that are going to die during the course of this year. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person is building a home, but his name is already in the list of the dead. He's still building, but his name is in the list of the dead. The person is marrying, his name is already in the list of the dead. The person is planting a garden, but his name is in the list of the dead. The person is undertaking a journey, but his name is in the list of the dead. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows when the angel of death has been ordered to take the life of that person. So now that does not mean that the person must close down his business now, because his name could be in the list of the dead. He must not build any home. He must not go for business, he must not go to learn, teach, or don't go to his profession, don't marry, don't plant garden. It doesn't mean that we have to understand everything in its proper context. What it means that do everything that you have to do. If you need a home, build a home. If you have to marry, get married. If you have to run a business, run the business. If you have to undertake a journey, undertake the journey. But just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that when I am making salat, when I make assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on my right hand side, I don't even have the hope, or I don't know whether I will be able to make it on the left hand side. That much istihzar of maut he had, that much conscious of maut, death. So this person who is undertaking a journey must carry on, the person who is building a home must go on, but don't forget that death is very, very close. We don't know when it can come. And that is what I repeatedly say in the dua. Oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find me in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, in a gambling den, in adultery, in fornication, in a rave club, popping drugs in my mouth, or bottle of wine in my hand. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find me in any of these haram actions. Why? Because I don't know when the angel of death is going to strike his sword, when he's going to extract that life. I don't know whether my name is now already in that list of the dead. Tomorrow, this minute, next year, who knows? How many people there were with us last year in Shab-e Barat, when they heard the bayan, at that time they all just listened, And we're quite confident that inshallah we will be living for another 100 years. Many of them. We are just like that too. Last year we heard it and we were quite confident. This whole year is Allah Ta'ala's mercy that He kept us alive. But we were quite satisfied that we are not in that list. But how many children left this world? The other day, from Johannesburg, a child was born. The mother was breastfeeding the child. And nobody knows what happened. Within a short space of time, the mother passed away. The mother passed away. Now there's a child has come into the world, and she's just still feeding the child, and the mother is gone. And I mentioned that one of the undertakers told me, last year or the year before that, that more than 60% of those who died in that year were under 30 years of age. And with all the statistics of AIDS and everything else that's happening, we can see how many children, how many adults, how many young people are leaving this world. So this is the night in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives that list. So we don't know whether our name is already in that list. So how can we be then in haram places? The person that's committing adultery at that time, his iman is also leaving him. And it's above him. Iman also doesn't remain inside. Now what if his death comes away in that state? So many people have died in prostitute quarters. They've died in discos. They've died in cinemas. They've died in rave clubs. They've died in so many other haram places. So it's not just fairy tales. So this night, let us make our taqdeer. The risk of a person is decided this night. So why not we ask Allah Ta'ala for rizq halal? Why should we ask for rizq from the casinos and from the discos and from haram sales and from alcohol sales? Why not ask Allah Ta'ala to provide for us from halal sources? What shortage is there in His treasures? And how many times I've given that example that if a person wins the lotto or he wins any kind of money in the casino or any kind of haram money that comes to him, if it's 1 million, then he's won 1 million pigs. And if it is 1 billion, then what he won is 1 billion pigs. He must really think and truly believe that what has come into his treasury is nothing but pigs. What's the difference between pigs and the money won in the casino? So if we are not going to be hasty, Allah Ta'ala will give us the same thing what we were supposed to get in a halal way. Just be a little patient. Make the right effort. Reduce unnecessary expenses. Live a life of simplicity. Don't try to compete with the Jones next door. Whatever they buy, we must have. So risk is decided. And so many other things are decided. So let us make our taqdeer. Ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And He's prepared to forgive no matter how far we may have gone. Join this relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala first. If we have broken it, if it has snapped, then build it up again. Allah Ta'ala is prepared to accept us. And He's the only one that accepts no matter how far we may have gone. But if we sincerely repent and we say, Ya Allah, we are not going to repeat this sins again. And whoever's rights we have trampled upon, we are going to seek forgiveness. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to forgive. It's a night of forgiveness. It's a night of His mercy. It's a night of His bounties. Suffer that little humiliation by saying, I'm sorry, please make me maaf. What does it cost? Ask your aunts, your sisters, your brothers, your family members, with whomsoever there has been any kind of discord, disunity. Pick up the phone, send a fax, send an email, do something. Suffer that little humiliation, and it's not humiliation. Allah Ta'ala will increase your respect. That this person humbled himself for my sake. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That he humbled himself and he asked for forgiveness. Even if we think we are right, what does it cost to say I'm sorry? Allah Ta'ala will become pleased. Yes, the money that person is owing, then that we can discuss as a separate issue. We don't say that maaf means now that person will say, Maulana said, must make everything maaf. Didn't you hear his bayan just now, little while ago? He said, everything maaf. That 50,000 I'm owing you is maaf now, finish. So that's not what it means. That can be discussed separately, but at least clear the heart and build up this relation with Allah Ta'ala. Some people say, but every year we do the same thing. Shab-e-Barat come, we ask for maaf, and then the whole year goes, we don't talk, and then again we ask for maaf. So of what benefit? So I said, at least even in that there's great benefit, that for 50 years if you did that, then the sin will be only for 1 year. Are you understanding? That if this person, for 50 years if he did that, that for Shab-e-Barat he picked up the phone and said, very sorry, make me maaf, forgive everything that I may have said which has hurt your sentiments and your feelings, and please make me maaf. And the person said, all right, I make you maaf. So at least for that year it's maaf. Now the next year, the sin will be just for that 1 year. Again he did the same thing. So if he did that for 50 years, at least he won't be punished by Allah Ta'ala for 50 years. His sin will be reduced to 1 year's sin. But of course it doesn't mean that is how the person should be asking for maaf. So seek forgiveness. And we too must have that large heart. Have a large heart. Learn to forgive. Allah Ta'ala will become happy and pleased. What are we going to hold the person on his harm that he has caused us? What are we going to get? And if people are making ghibat of us, they're sending sawab to us. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he said, I'd rather make ghibat of my mother if I have to make ghibat. Why should I give my sawab to somebody else? I'd rather give it to my mother. If I have to make ghibat, why should I not make of my mother? Why must I give my sawab to somebody else? And look at their actions. One day one person came and told Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, just to tease him and to antagonize him and make him angry. His mother was quite old. And he comes and he says that I want to marry your mother. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, my mother is an adult and she can make her own decision. So I'm going to ask her if she's prepared to marry you. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said that and he turned to go towards his mother. That person collapsed and died. He died. So the people said Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's curse got him. So never be happy on anybody's weakness or anybody's sin or anybody's problems. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must save us and protect us. We don't think sometimes what we say. So instead of making ghibat and all that, forgive the person. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased. So those who do not build up those ties. And after that, I have mentioned many times that if two people were good friends, now the other one person betrayed the other and he let him down and that friendship ended, now they are not on talking terms. So what we say is that ask the person for forgiveness. That problem, if it is financial or whatever it is, must still be resolved. But after asking for forgiveness, it does not mean that now you have to maintain exactly the same friendly relationship that you had before. Now if you meet the person and you don't feel like being the same kind of a friend, then make salam to him, don't make ghibat of him, and now and again give him some hadiya if you want to, and make dua for him, finish. That much, you don't have to maintain the same kind of friendship and relationship. Look at Shariat, how beautiful. It doesn't force a person to do something that is completely against nature. And there are incidents in the Hadith Sharif from where this is deduced. So it is a night to seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to ask Him, to beg of Him, and to make our taqdeer. There are many, many other things, but let us build up this relationship. Ye kushti to hai unse umra bhar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. This battle between nafs and between shaitan and ourselves is going to go on till our dying day. Sometimes we will overpower it and sometimes he will overpower us. But seek forgiveness for those sins from Allah Ta'ala. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. Jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. If you break, even if it snaps 100 times, join it. How can an ashik of Allah Ta'ala be quite happy? That never mind now, if I'm distanced from you, so what? We are in need of Allah Ta'ala, muhtaj of Him every single second of our lives. So let us make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But before we make dua, I know I am also a very weak person, and I know that sometimes sitting for an hour or so, the knees begin to pain. So the person when he's making dua, his heart is in the pain that he's got on his knees, instead of that heart being in the dua. So therefore I give opportunity to the congregation to stand up, straighten your knees, straighten up your legs, breathe in deeply, and then sit down. So that when you're making dua, at that time, your heart, mind and soul is in the dua. MashaAllah, some circulation must have taken place. I have been sitting on the chair. MashaAllah, so many young friends now who will be making tawbah. How happy Allah Ta'ala will get. Make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث يا الله Oh my beloved Allah, Oh my Rahim Allah, O my Kareem Allah, O my most forgiving Allah, O my most compassionate Allah, O my most kind, loving, caring Allah, O my most tolerant Allah, we are extending our begging bowls before you. O my beloved Allah, we are extending our begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, you are all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. O my beloved Allah, our life in your hands, our sight in your hands, our hearing in your control, our speech in your control, our heart, liver and lungs, O my beloved Allah, you keep them functioning. O my beloved Allah, our wealth in your control. The earth on which we walk, O Allah, it is in your control. O my beloved Allah, we are seeking from you. Your treasures are unlimited. Ya Allah, this is the 15th night of Shaban. Vere Pyare Allah, it is a night of forgiveness. It is night of mercy and rahmat. It is a night of barakat. Oh my beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we committed in the past year. Ya Allah, all our lives, the sins that we committed, we are ashamed. We are not bragging about our sins. Oh Allah, we are not justifying our sins. Ya Allah, we are seeking forgiveness from all sins. Oh my beloved Allah, we are extending our hands before you. Ya Allah, we are not extending before human beings. You become happy and pleased the more we beg of you. Human beings become angry if we have to beg of them. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ay Allah, aaj raat hame maaf kar de. Mere maula maaf kar de. Ab tu maaf kar de. How long are we going to walk on the earth like hypocrites? How long are we going to be disobedient to you? How long are we going to remain distanced from you? Ya Allah, how long are we going to commit sins on the surface of the earth? Oh my Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. Oh my beloved Allah, daily we use your bounties for your disobedience. Ya Allah, daily we use your bounties for your disobedience. The great bounty of sight for your disobedience. Ya Allah, how many people there are in this world who have no sight? Ya Allah, you blessed us with sight, and we use the sight for your disobedience. We watch all the filth and all the haram with our gaze. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes. Forgive the sins of our ears. Forgive the sins of our tongues. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet. Forgive the sins of our heart and mind. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Oh my Allah, forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ya Allah, there was no question of darkness for you. Ya Allah, you have seen everything that we have done. You have heard everything that we have spoken. Every action of ours has been before you. You could have seized us there and then. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have brought humiliation, disgrace and suffering upon us there and then. Ya Allah, how kind you are. How merciful you are. How forgiving you are. How compassionate you are. How loving you are. How caring you are. You dearly love forgiveness of sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are extending our begging bowls and seeking forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive our parents. Forgive our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, and forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, forgive the entire mankind. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Bless the entire mankind with Islam and Iman. Ya Allah, open the eyes of the enemies of Islam to the beautiful teachings of Islam. Ya Allah, we are the ones who are the obstacles. We are the ones who are at the door of Islam. Our character does not allow anybody to enter into the fold of Islam. Ya Allah, bless us with the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, give us the heart that you give to the awliya. Oh my Allah, bless us with the hearts that you give to your beloved friends. Oh my beloved Allah. Oh my Rahim Allah. Oh my Kareem Allah. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy, of jealousy, of evil passions and desires. Oh my Allah, what have we made of our hearts? The hearts which were for your love and for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have given our hearts to drinks and to gambling and to adultery and to fornication and to all the filth and the haram. Oh my beloved Allah, we have filled our hearts with arrogance, with pride, with envy, with jealousy, with malice, with greed. Oh my beloved Allah, who is there to purify our hearts besides you? Remove, oh my Allah, all the evil from our hearts. Fill our hearts with the light of Iman. Fill our hearts with the light of Zikr. Fill our hearts with the noor of Tilawat. Fill our hearts with the noor of Ibadat. Fill our hearts with the noor of Akhlaq. Fill our hearts with the noor of Umrahs and Hajj. Fill our hearts, O my beloved Allah, with the recitation of Durood and Salam of one Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of service to mankind. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all. The rights of our children, the rights of our parents, the rights of our wives, the rights of our family members, the rights of our neighbors, the rights of Muslims and non-Muslims. Oh my beloved Allah, let us not do any kind of injustice, whether it is to Muslim or non-Muslim. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of family members. Oh Allah, on this beloved night, in this Mubarak night, in this Nurani night, in the night of the 15th of Shawan, Ya Allah, you don't forgive those who hold malice in their hearts. Ya Allah, we are seeking from your protection. Oh Allah, remove the malice from our hearts. Ya Allah, remove the malice from our hearts. Remove the pride from our hearts. Remove the jealousy from our hearts. Ay Allah, hame maaf kar de. Ay Allah, hame maaf kar de. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your forgiveness for us. Open the floodgates, oh my Allah, of your forgiveness for us. Ay Allah, aaj to hame paak kar de. Ya Allah, let us leave from here with purified hearts. Let us leave from here with clean hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki duniya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de.
خدا یا فضل فرما دل بدل دے. گنہگاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں, گنہگاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں, بدل دے میرا رستہ دل بدل دے. یا اللہ چینج دا کنڈیشن آف اور ہارٹس. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ, او مائی رحیم اللہ, دس از اے نائٹ ان وچ تقدیرز آر ریٹن. Oh my beloved Allah, it is handed over to the angels. We do not know if our name is in the list of the dead. We don't know if our name has been transferred from the living to the list of the dead. Ya Allah, we don't know if our name is in the list of the dead. Ya Allah, therefore we seek from you. The life which is gone, but the life that remains, we seek from you the tawfiq to remain steadfast on the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. To distance ourselves from every kind of haram. Oh Allah, distance us from adultery, from fornication, from stealing, from gambling, from the rave clubs, from the discos, from the cinemas, from the theaters, from fraud, from cheating, from deceiving, from arrogance, from pride. Ya Allah, distance us from every kind of sin on earth. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make our salat 5 times a day. And for the men folk with jamaat in the masjids, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fast in this Mubarak month of Ramadan that is coming. Ya Allah, the Mubarak month of Ramadan is fast approaching. We have made no preparation spiritually for the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, our lifestyles are still the same. Ya Allah, our condition hasn't changed. Ya Allah, we are still indulging the same vices and evils that we indulged all along. Ya Allah, the Mubarak month of Ramadan is coming. Ya Allah, let us enter into the month of Ramadan, purified hearts. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fast in Ramadan, to make zikr and tilawat in Ramadan. Oh Allah, to fulfill the rights of all in Ramadan. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to give charities extensively in Ramadan. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make as much ibadat as possible in Ramadan. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to give zakat. Give us the tawfiq to go for hajj if it is farz. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of everyone, to pay back to whomsoever whatever is due, and to seek forgiveness from those whom we have caused any kind of harm or injury or pain. Oh my beloved Allah, if it was unjustified, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to seek forgiveness from them. Ey mere pyare khuda, mere rahim kareem Allah, میرے اللہ تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں. یا اللہ, where do we go? Whether we go east or west, north or south, we go deep down the ocean or up above the heavens, everywhere it is your kingdom. یا اللہ, everywhere it is your kingdom. یا اللہ, therefore we are turning towards you. Provide for us from sources unknown to us. Bless us with rizq and sustenance which is halal. 100% halal. Ya Allah, save us from any kind of haram morsel going down our throats. Ya Allah, give us the understanding that haram brings nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems of all kinds. Oh my beloved Allah, for the believers, haram will never ever be able to bring them any kind of peace and happiness. Ya Allah, give us plentiful of halal rizq. Ya Allah, this is the night in which you are deciding about our rizq. Decision has been made, O my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, give us rizq which is halal. We don't want to go to the casinos and the discos, and we don't want to go towards any kind of haram. Ya Allah, give us the himmat and courage, O my Allah. Give us himmat and courage. Ya Allah, we are gone extremely weak. Ya Allah, give us strength and power to resist the onslaught of shaitan. Ya Allah, our nafs and shaitan, they want to drag us down the gutters. Nafs o shaita, dono ne milkar, hai kiya hai mujhko taba. Nafs o shaita, dono ne milkar, hai kiya hai mujhko taba. Ey mere Allah, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ. Oh my Allah, nafs and shaitan want to drag us down the gutters.
Ya Allah, you want to see us go into Jannat. You want to see us enjoy a life of happiness and peace and prosperity in this world and in the Akhirat. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of sacrifices he made so that Islam and Iman may reach us and so that we may become worthy of entry into Jannat. Ya Allah, 3 solid years he was boycotted and ostracized. The time came when he and his companions had to chew the leaves of trees for survival. Ah, by Allah, he was stoned so much that his shoes became filled with his Mubarak blood. Ya Allah, when he went for sajda in the mataf, when he went for sajda in the Haram Sharif, intestines of animals were placed on his back. Ya Allah, he was stoned in Uhud, his teeth were shattered. Ya Allah, he falls down unconscious. Oh my Allah, the most beloved to you, how much of suffering he underwent so that we may get Ibad and Islam. Mere Allah, he stands whole night in prayer. He makes sajdas for the whole night. He recites one ayat of the Quran Sharif for the whole night. How Allah, that sinless, masoom Nabi, who was he concerned about? He was concerned about us. Mere Allah, we have shown no appreciation for those sacrifices. Ya Allah, when he is informed that ummat for whom you cried so much, that ummat for whom so much of your blood was shed, that ummat just does lip service praises, but the ummat is in casinos and discos and fraud, that ummat is in all kinds of haram, that ummat in prostitute quarters, that ummat in discos and cinemas and theatres, that ummat in adultery and fornication. Ya Allah, that ummat watching the filthiest of films in the hotel rooms in Madinah Sharif and in Makkah Mukarrama. Ya Allah, the filthiest music is being heard few meters away from the Rauza Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, what kind of injury and pain we are causing to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, in his time the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the Yahud, the Nasara and the Munafiqeen caused him pain and injury. Today with our actions and our deeds, we are causing him injury and pain. Oh Allah, those hotels were at one time the homes of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, therein tahajjud and ishraq and chasht and awabeen and the tears of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam flowed. Ya Allah, we have made them into cinema houses. Ay, mere Allah, our own homes have become cinemas. Our own homes have become discos. Our own homes, oh Allah, on the television screen. How many times adultery and fornication is being committed. Oh my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah. Give us the himmat and the courage and the strength to throw out of our lives and homes all the filth that we have brought in. Ya Allah, give us the realization that in your happiness, in your radha, lies peace and happiness and forgiveness. Ya Allah, if you will become pleased, then we will find contentment, then we will find peace, we will find security. Ya Allah, then the hearts will be united. Everybody will be living a life of happiness and joy. But oh Allah, in your displeasure lies all kinds of problems, anxieties, worries. Ya Allah, hame ihsas ata farma. Hame ihsas ata farma. Ya Allah, now we don't even have the realization that sins are sins. Ay Allah, but you are forgiving. You are dearly forgiving. You really love forgiveness, oh my Allah. No matter how far we have gone, but something that you dearly love is forgiveness of sins. Ya Allah, all my young friends and everyone that is listening, Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, it is not difficult for you to change our hearts. Ya Allah, the sahaba ikram, they came from the kuffar, the mushrikeen, Yahud and Nasara. But when they accepted Islam upon the hands of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. You pleased with them and they pleased with you. Ya Allah, if you could have brought such dramatic change in their hearts, how can it not be possible for you to change the condition of our hearts? Allah to badal de, mere maula to badal de. Hum khud thak gaye mere maula, mere rabb e kareem, we are tired ourselves of committing sins. Ya Allah, it hasn't brought any kind of joy and happiness, temporary enjoyment, but oh Allah, permanent misery it has brought into our lives. Allah, ab to hamari zindagi badal de. Ya Allah, hum sabko apna bana le, hamara ban ja. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah is suffering in the world. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak night we are begging. Ya Allah, this Mubarak night we are asking, Ya Allah, don't look at our sins anymore. Ya Allah, we are acknowledging that we are the most sinful ones on earth. Ya Allah, look at the tears of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that flowed for this ummah. Look at the blood of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam which flowed for this ummah. And forgive the ummah and assist and help the ummah. Assist and help the mujahideen. Ya Allah, in Palestine, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq. Ya Allah, which part of the world the ummah is not suffering? Ya Allah, we acknowledge that it is our weakness. We acknowledge that we are very faulty and full of sins. But oh Allah, we also believe that you are forgiving, you are merciful. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. Give hidayat to the enemies of Islam. Open their eyes to the beautiful teachings of Islam, of compassion, of mercy, of kindness. Oh Allah, open their eyes to the beautiful teachings of Islam. Oh my beloved Allah, we are the ones who are not allowing them to see what the true Islam is. Ay Allah, open their eyes and bless them with Iman and Islam. Make them worthy of entry into Jannat. Let the Iman and Islam winds blow throughout the continents. But oh Allah, if some enemies of Islam have become obstinate and they have made up their minds that they will continue with the persecution of the Muslims, they will continue with tyranny, they will continue oppressing, they will continue bulldozing their homes, they will continue firing from the gunships and throwing missiles and bombs. Oh my Allah, on innocent women, children, adults. Oh my Allah, then shake them like you shook the Aad and Samad. Send gale force winds against them. Send cyclones against them. Shake the earth, oh my Allah, beneath their feet and cause it to swallow them up. Oh Allah, cause their homes to crash. Oh my beloved Allah, cause their planes to crash. Cause the ships to sink. Oh my beloved Allah, create division and disunity amongst their ranks. Ya Allah, unite the entire ummah. Unite the entire ummah. Ay mere pyare khuda, aaj bhi tu wohi khuda hai, jo Uhud ka khuda tha, jo Khandak ka khuda tha, jo Ghazwa-e Badr ka khuda tha, jo Fateh Makkah ka khuda tha. Aaj bhi tu wohi khuda hai. Mere Allah, you haven't gone weak. We have gone weak. Mere Allah, humare haal par raham farma. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Mere pyare khuda, mere rahim kareem Allah, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Allah, nobody lived here forever and nobody will live forever. Mere pyare khuda, our death is going to come. It is going to come whether we like it or not. Ya Allah, daily we are seeing janazas leaving before our very eyes. We are shouldering the janazas and taking them to the graveyard and the qabristan. But Ya Allah, we are not taking any lessons from the qabristan. Mere pyare khuda, one day our janaza will also move in some direction. Mere Allah, ek din hamara janaza bhi chalega. What capital do we have of good deeds, O Allah? Ya Allah, forgive us. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, in a gambling den. Don't let the angel of death find us in a prostitute quarters, committing adultery or fornication. Don't let the angel of death find us watching some filthy film on the television screen, or stuck on some porn site on the internet, or reading some filthy magazine. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us popping drugs in our mouths. Ya Allah, how many have died having overdosed themselves on drugs? Mere pyare khuda, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram. Jab hamari maut ka waqt aaye, when the time of our death comes, Ya Allah, let it come in a state that you are pleased with us. Oh Allah, at that time, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Take us to the city of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the Rosa Mubarak. At the Rosa Mubarak. Ya Allah. At the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With us salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasul Allah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habib Allah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا خير خلق الله.
Ya Allah, let our soul come dancing towards you. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ay, mere Allah, oh my beloved Allah, a small piece of ground in Jannatul Baqi.
So that when the winds of Rahmat blow over the Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Madina Tayyiba, we too may be forgiven. But oh Allah, if it is not Muqaddar there, then wherever our death is Muqaddar, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Wherever our death comes, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Mere Allah, mere Allah, ab to hamare hal par raham farma. Bahut guna kar chuke mere Allah, too much of sins we have committed. How long are we going to continue in that direction? Mere Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, protect Masjid Aqsa, protect Haramain Sharifain, protect all our masajid, protect our khansas, protect all the works of deen. Da'wat o tabliq ki mehnat qubool farma, masajid, madaris, tamam mehnatun ko qubool farma. Those who are doing deen work, as long as it is within the parameters of sharia, Ya Allah, whether it's in the social field or any field, accept their khidmat, accept their services. Ya Allah, those who are writing exams, give them success in their exams. Make, oh my Allah, our students our assets. Ya Allah, make them the assets for our community. Ya Allah, bless them with hidayat and guidance. Protect them from the fitnas that are at the universities, colleges and other places. Ya Allah, give them success in their studies. Ey mere pyare Khuda, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida. How much he cried for us with his 124,000 companions. Day and night he made duas for us. Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after kissing the Hajr Aswad, the duas that he made, after touching the Rukna Yamadi, the dua that he made, under the Mizab-e Rahmat, how much he cried. After making namazes in the Hatim, the duas that he made, when he attached himself to the Multazam, Ya Allah, that sinless, masoom Nabi with his hands above his head, his chest against the wall, how much he teared, how much he begged for us. Ya Allah, the duas that he made. Ah, my Allah, behind the Maqam-e Ibrahim, the duas that he made after drinking Zamzam, duas that he made on Safa and Marwa, duas that he made in Mina, the duas that he made in Arafat. Ah, my Allah, how much he cried for us in Arafat. How much he begged for us in Arafat, and the duas that he made in Muzdalifah and all other occasions. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our parents with that goodness, wives and children with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us and protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with the best of all marriage partners. Ya Allah, you are well aware of all the desires and wishes that are in the hearts of the people who have raised their hands. Ya Allah, whatever good desires are in their hearts, fulfill those desires. Oh Allah, unki nek murado ko pura kar de. And whatever fears they have, oh Allah, protect them from all those fears. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete cure from all ailments, whether they are in hospitals or in clinics or at homes or amongst us. Whoever is sick and ailing, Ya Allah, give them complete cure. We are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. Ya Allah, those who have passed away, bless them with forgiveness. Fill the graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove their financial difficulties. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, oh Allah, remove their difficulties. Throughout the world, wherever, whoever is suffering, Ya Allah, remove their suffering. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم
وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.